Poznanski is an old English name. This is this is the session optimizing search relevance in SharePoint 2013. Actually, even though it's a level 400, everything we're going to show you can be done through UI. I'm Viktor Poznanski. I'm Program Manager for Relevance and Query Rules.
And I'm Jan Inge. I'm working out of Oslo in the Search Center of Excellence.
By the time you leave, you should know what we think relevance is all about and what new tools we've provided for you to manage relevance. You should also know, you know what, Jan Inge, is this the latest version of the slide?
I don't know. Let's see with the search. So I'll see. I think I have that one here with my search result.
So this is an example of our new search page. I can see you've probably managed the relevance of this query, have you?
Yeah, I did. I created some best bet then some query rules.
So at the top, you can see a promoted result, which is actually the overview of what we're going to be talking about. I might as well read it out from here, in fact. It says, we're going to tell you about the new tools, which we're going to go over, and we're going to explain how to use them in the context of what we think of as a relevance lifecycle. I can also see just below it, you've got, is that a result block?
That's a result block I created with a query rule.
Yeah, so this is, it seems to, you predicted that I would be searching for PowerPoint results.
I did, by surprise.
And it's actually the DEX. Can I, which is the right one?
I think you have the right one, actually.
Good. So we've got the right DEX. What else have you done to this query?
Besides the DEX, I also integrated the query rule for my backup videos. So in case my connectivity failed, I have everything in here so I can run the demos of a video. And in addition, I also included some cool pictures of us.
I had a video of Brad Pitt before for me.
But yeah, this one fits you much better. Okay. Should we return to the tech?
So let's start off with what we think search is all about. And we can think of it in terms of the challenges for search, in terms of users and their data. Whenever I think about data, I always remember this old Far Side sketch. I don't know if everybody can see it, but there's two identical panels. And at the top it says what we say to dogs, and there's a guy telling off his dog, Ginger. He's saying, okay, Ginger, I've had it. You stay out of the garbage. Understand, Ginger? And underneath it says what they hear. And what Ginger hears is, blah, blah, Ginger. Blah, 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 Ginger. And interestingly enough, that's almost exactly the same problem this, a search engine has when trying to understand your documents. So we give search engines some of our most complex human artifacts with lots of structure and meaning, but what they actually see is a small subset of that space. We take managed properties, which are built from indexing the documents, and turn them into what we call ranking features, and that's actually what the search engine sees. And typically, what that's going to look like is words and phrases from the document, key metadata like the author and the title, and some derived metadata that tells us something about how relevant the document is, like its type or how authoritative it is and things like that. Now, when you look at that representation below, you'll see that the search engine has quite a challenge in trying to understand and rank your documents. And in every release, we always add a few more features to make it do better. In this release, we've added how much activity is going on that document outside of search, how popular it is. We've also improved our click processing features and our handling of phrases. But you can see it's a challenge. And at the end of this talk, we're going to tell you how you can improve it. The second problem is the problem of understanding what a user really was trying to achieve. And we call that intent. Imagine somebody back at Microsoft typed in a query like SharePoint conference into our search engine. What would they be really looking for? Would they be looking for their presentation? Would they be looking for information about the conference? Or would they be trying to find out what other people at Microsoft are presenting here? All of those are user intents, and they're all perfectly reasonable. And the challenge for a search engine is to work out what the most likely intents are and give the best results for those intents. And in this release, we've introduced the notion of query rules to let you do just that. And you could see at the beginning that Janninga actually curated a query so that he could deliver the results for the most likely intents. Let's just frame what we're going to talk about today. Relevance is a huge area. You know, users perceive the relevance of the user interface, and the conversational user experience is a very important part of that. It's also incredibly important to think about what data you actually pump into the system. If you pump in garbage, you can expect to get garbage out. But what we're going to focus on today are the tools that you can use to manage your users' queries and the ranking of the search engine. Let's look at how the sort of flow for relevance works at a high level. A typical query starts off in a search web part or a CBS web part. It goes into a query processing pipeline where it's parsed and expanded. And then that query is sent to the search engine, which has already pre-indexed your documents. It gives you back results ranked by relevance, and the query processing pipeline will pass it back to the results web part or the CBS web part. That's a bit abstract. Let's take maybe a concrete example. So let's imagine you're English and you're a consultant in Britain. So imagine it's dark and raining at the moment. And you've just typed in the query BT Network Quarterly Report. It turns out that you probably have high expectations of a modern search engine. You'll expect the search engine somehow knows that BT stands for British Telecom. You'll also expect that a document in the system that contains the words British Telecom Networks, none of which are in the query, will somehow come back. Moreover, you probably expect that reports will come back, whether the document mentions reports or not. Let's look at how you can actually make that query work. The first thing we're going to do for you, pretty much automatically, is expand out the common words in the query, like nouns, into their common variants in a process that we call stemming. In this release, it's on by default and actually works a lot better. Now, we can't automatically expand words like BT because it depends on the company and the locale and the country. But what we do let you do is provide a thesaurus where you can tell the system how you'd like to expand that query. And actually, at this point, you can specify any promoted results you'd like to show on the search page. Now that query is going to be passed to the engine, and you still have ways of helping the search engine to rank well. The first thing you can do is specify authorities or important data hubs, which will help the system to rank. You can even provide your own ranking model, which will actually tell the system how to rank in great detail. When the results come back, you still have things that you can do. We have a system called dynamic reordering rules, which lets you take the results and tweak them a little bit. So, for example, if I know that my quarterly reports are in a particular site, when a query mentions quarterly reports, I can boost things from that site. In fact, I can actually decide that if I mention the word quarterly report, maybe there's a better query I should have issued where I'm going to reformulate it to mention that I really want something with content-type reports. And I can have that come back as a block, just like Janninga used blocks at the beginning of this session. So actually, the results of SharePoint 2.13 search will be a combination of promoted results, excellent results for that query, and even results for other queries mixed in. And that's what we're going to cover today. Good, nobody's walked out. Before we go on to going look at those tools in detail, let's talk a little bit about how you can use them. So we think of improving relevance as a kind of cycle. This is a bit obvious in a way. You need to find out which queries don't work. You need to work out why they're not working, and then you need to select the right tool to fix it. And I can't go into great detail, but I wanted to point out a few ways that you can do the first couple of steps. First of all, SharePoint 2013 has some excellent social features. You can encourage people to discuss search to find out what's wrong with it. You can also deploy your own web parts to send mail back to you to find out what people don't like. We actually do that at Microsoft. For a more statistically valid approach, there's an analytics reporting system. You can go in there and find out what the most popular queries are and which of them didn't work. That's a great place to start. And finally, if you're upgrading, you can look at best bets that have been curated in previous versions. They could well be areas that aren't working. Now, before you start pulling out all these tools to fix things, when it comes to diagnosing the problems, just a quick note that you'll find that more often than not, the reason why search isn't working is because you didn't index the content. So I can point you to some great talks at the end which will tell you how to eliminate crawl issues and work out whether a document was indexed. The second most common reason why search seems not to work is that you don't have permission to see the documents. And a very easy way of testing that is by using the item equals URL syntax. If you stick the URL in, that document will come back if you had permission to see it. So if you crawled it and you can't see it, chances are it's permissioned. And similarly, if you've crawled it and you see an old version, you've probably got a problem with freshness of crawl. Now that we've eliminated those sort of basic issues, we can talk about our tools. Authorities let you specify important data hubs in the system. Result sources let you change the scope of your query or federate in other results from other places. We do let you play with ranking models, but it's probably better if you have a PhD in machine learning to do that. So we wouldn't recommend it for the naive user. However, in this release, we've given you a bunch of alternatives. First of all, query rules will let you build better queries than the one the user typed. Dynamic re-ranking rules will let you reorder the results a little bit. And we're going to provide a tuning app which will let you actually improve ranking models without ever having to go down into the gory details. So as we go up that stack, we're trading control for simplicity. Let's start with our first tool, authorities. If you're a user of FAST, this will be a net new feature. It's actually been present in Search Server for some time. It's an SSA level configuration. You go to specify authorities, and you can specify one of three levels of authority. It's just URLs. We can't demonstrate it today because it takes some time to propagate, so I'm just going to talk through it. You can also specify sites with low intrinsic relevance or demoted sites, non-authoritative sites. Here's the intuition behind it, and this is the simplest case. Imagine I have three sites which I've represented as three orange bubbles. The first containing project data, which is really important to me. Another one contains documentation, which is quite important. And the third contains glossaries. I really don't want them to appear if any of the other data appears. Then the intuition is you make that first site the most authoritative site, the other site a second-level site, and the third one non-authoritative. That's the really simple case. But actually, authorities were designed for a slightly different situation. Imagine we've got a whole bunch of sites connected to each other by hyperlinks. These really should have arrows, but for simplicity, I've left them out. Now, our assumption is that sites that are connected to really important sites are probably quite important themselves. So when I make something an authority, that's the one with a zero. Can everybody see the zero? Yeah. The one with the zero, when I make that an authority, I actually make all of the sites connected to it a little bit authoritative. So one level away will be a little bit less authoritative, two away will be even less authoritative, and so on. Now, that's a very, very powerful feature. It means you can control relevance with just a few URLs, but you have to be really careful. Let's take one of those bottom fours and make that an authority. I start to affect all of the URLs around me and sites, and they can start to interfere. As a bit of guidance, at Microsoft, where we have hundreds of millions of documents, we have maybe a handful of authorities. For small to medium-sized collections of data, you probably just need to make the root site an authority. Incidentally, the non-authorities don't propagate. Okay, on to result sources. Result sources let you scoop your query or federate things in from other places. The way we think about it, a user actually will send a query like customer services monthly report to a result source, which is responsible for returning the results. And the way it does that is by having two vital pieces of information: the protocol or location, which says where to get the results from, and what we call a query transformation, which tells you what kinds of how to change the query to get the results you want back. And that's the equivalent for users of previous releases of scopes. It's a little broader. And that's how you'll get results. Now, to configure it, it's actually a site-level setting. You go to the search section and click on result sources. You can add a new result source on the management page. Let's say we're trying to add a training source, and that's just SharePoint results restricted to a particular site. I'll give a name and a description, and then I'll give that first important bit of information, the protocol. I can choose from local SharePoint, remote SharePoint, OpenSearch, which is for search engines which obey that federation protocol, like Bing, and Exchange. In this case, I want my local SharePoint results. It's not a hybrid case for remote SharePoint. Now I'm going to have to say how I want the query to change to scope it to a particular site. And what I'm going to want to say is I want to keep the things that the user typed and add a restriction to a particular site. And the way I do that is by referring to a variable that we populate for you called search terms, which is what the user typed. Let's have a look at that expanded a bit. I'm going to say I want to refer to the user's query, and I dereference the variable in curly braces, and then I add a site restriction. That's all I have to do. I'm done, and I've configured a source. Jan-Inge, can you show us something for an open search provider?
I will. So thank you, Victor. So now let's start using some of the cool stuff that Victor is talking about. In this demo, I'll create a result source using the open search protocol against Bing, and then create a result block. Okay, so let's start by creating the result source. Going into site setting, and then locating the result sources, and click on new result source. I'll call my result source Bing, select the open search protocol, and then I won't do any modification to the query as Victor did, so I'll just pass on the query. And it's still working on refreshing here. So what I will do, I will paste in the query. So this is the URL I will use, so using the OpenSearch URL with the RSS format. So let's select that one.
So you've got search terms in there for the query that you're passing through, and then you're turning it into a Bing query, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So my page is still not refreshed. Let's try again.
Any very quick questions while we wait? Yes.
Yeah.
You talked about authoritative pages and the hyperlinks between them.
Yeah.
What are those? Can you talk more about the hyperlinks? What is defining that link between those two sites?
It's either the natural structure of SharePoint pages, or it's people that refer to other pages through hyperlinks on that site.
So actually, an HTTP link on a page on a site that links to another site.
Yeah. But we also respect the natural sort of structure of SharePoint as well.
Can an authoritative site be outside of SharePoint?
An authoritative site can't be outside of SharePoint. Well, at least it can be, but it's not going to rank it any better.
Okay, so let's switch to this one where I tested this stuff. So what I've done is that I have the search term and I pasted in my URL in there.
And you selected the open search protocol.
I did. So let's switch back to this one now. And then go back to site settings and create my query rule where I will use this result source. So I'll select the local SharePoint result and new query. Call it Bing. And I'll do a very simple match in this query rule, so only matching a few keywords, so SharePoint, Word, PowerPoint, and then create my result block. So Bing results, and with the, I will modify the query, so I will look for Microsoft download pages related to my product. So I'll add those query words directly in here. Then whatever I'm searching for. And then I'll select my Bing source. And in site setting, I'll paste in a more link. The more link, it's just a regular Bing URL with the curly brackets for my search term. And I'll pin this result to the top. This will always make the result appear on the top of the result page. If I'm not pinning it, it will start off on top, but if users are clicking on the results below that block, it will gradually go down. Click OK and save that one, and then go back to my search and look for SharePoint. And I can see that I got the result block with SharePoint with Bing results, and I can also click on the more link and get directly into Bing. Okay, that was the federated. Thank you.
So if you've been using previous versions of search, you'll know that normally you had to stick federated results into different web parts and put them on the page, and now they can be integrated into one place. Now, Jonninger actually did two things. He got a source of results, and then he put them into a query rule, which we haven't really spoken about, and that's what I'm going to cover now. So the idea of a query rule is to conditionally do something based on what the user typed. You can either conditionally rewrite the query or federate to another source, or actually do both. Let's have a look at a couple of examples. I've already given this one. When somebody types something like monthly report customer support, they were probably looking for things of type reports from particular sites, maybe by particular people, with maybe ordered by date. Now, the reason why people don't type in advanced queries is they just don't know the syntax, and they probably don't know what they need to do. So what a query rule can do for you here is actually build the advanced query from the simple one. The second case is where actually the query is okay. You've just sent it basically to the wrong place. So if I have a company like GlaxoSmithKline, perhaps I should be sending this query to the CRM vertical or CRM source. If I have a query about benefits, maybe I'll send it to an HR source. How do query rules work? They're split into conditions and actions. And imagine that I've got a query like, what is COGS, where I'm trying to find a definition. And I want to change that into query to Bing to look up the definition in Wikipedia. My condition is going to look a bit like this. If the query starts with the words, what is, add results from Wikipedia without the what is. There's actually another type of condition called a context condition, where you can say something like, only apply this rule if the user who's typing it is in sales or something like that. I'm not going to talk about that here. That's covered in other sessions. What kinds of conditions and actions are there? Well, the conditions are broadly split into two types, phrase-based matches and historical matches. A phrase-based match basically matches a term in a dictionary against your query, and you can either match the whole query or the beginning or end of the query. You can also just type in a few terms, like Jonninger did in the previous example, or you can actually build a dictionary in the term store and use that. And that has the advantage that you can also specify synonyms there and localize the searches if you need to. Finally, for advanced cases, you can use regular expressions, and that's very, very powerful indeed. You don't always know which phrases to match. So the second class of things are historical matches, where we look at what kinds of queries people have typed, or the way people have actually used this query in the past. So you can say things like, was this query more commonly sent to a different source? Or was this query actually, did people click on documents of a particular type? And we'll see why that's useful a little later. In terms of actions, you can either promote a result, or you can reformulate the user's query to a better one. Either you can bring that in as a block of results, as we saw at the beginning, or you can actually just take over all of the results and replace them. That you have to be really careful about. Reformulating a user's query is not that difficult. We help you out by letting you use two special variables. One is called action terms, and that's where you're going to assign the terms that are sort of telling you what the query is meant to be doing. Like monthly report means give me back things of type monthly report. And then there's subject terms, which are the things you're going to use like a regular search. And a very common pattern will be that you delete the action terms and turn them into a more complex restriction on the query. How do we actually associate query rules with the user's query? We associate them with the source that the query is aimed at. I apologize for this guy without the eyes. It's a bit spooky. So when the user aims his query at a source, the query rules will intercept that query effectively, apply themselves, and mix in the results so that what you get out is the results from that source, as we specified, plus best bets, plus result blocks. All that's left to do is build a rule. It's another site-level setting. You go to search and query rules. You, at the management page, you click on new query rule. And maybe, Jon-Inge, you can take it from there.
Yeah, thank you, Victor. So in this demo, I will see how we can use the action terms, create a new block, and then also have some more advanced triggering on the query using a dictionary. So back in site setting, again, trying the query rules. Selecting my source, which is again SharePoint, local SharePoint, and new query rule. I call this software action, and I'll now select advanced query text match because I want to trigger on terms in a dictionary. So I'll import a dictionary from the term store. So I cheated a little bit and created a dictionary with software action words. So code, configure, download, install, and so forth. Just to illustrate an example. Then I want to match these query words either at the start or end of the query, then assign the match to action term and the remaining to subject terms. And so now within my result block, I'll use the different used action terms and the subject terms differently. So software actions result for, and then in this case, I'll launch the query builder. In my example, I have indexed some content from TechNet. I'll restrict the result to TechNet content. In addition, I will also add and I will use my action term within the title. So selecting action terms, adding this property, and then within my result block, only select terms which are from TechNet and have my action terms within the title. Click OK, and I will not do anything in site settings, so this block will be ranked. And save. And then back in my search, I'll try configure SharePoint. And there you have my result block. And you can see that the action term is now within the title, and I have a result block from TechNet. Okay, small example. Back to you, Victor.
Thank you very much. You might ask, why didn't we replace all the results with that block if we were so sure it was configure SharePoint? And the answer is, you're rarely that sure that that's exactly what the user wanted. Maybe it was a document with just the words configure and SharePoint in it, which is why we add it in as a block. But if you're really sure of what the user wants, you can actually replace all of the results. Okay. Now, I've mentioned a few times that one of the main ideas about the query rules is to let you federate in things from other verticals. What is a vertical? For us, it's a page on a site that lets you do a kind of specialized search. So it's going to have a search box. It's going to have a special source to deliver the results. And it's going to have a results web part. All verticals must have that. And if you want to be decent to the users, you'll add an entry for that in the nav bar, which you'll see just under the search box. And then from the user's perception, when they click on there, they're not even moving to another page. They're just selecting another functionality, effectively in a tab. Now, the thing that makes verticals extremely powerful is the fact that you can customize the results with JavaScript item templates. You can cater for vertical-specific intents. You can build vertical-specific refiners. In this case, for people, you can drill down on things like job title and department. You can even configure your own sort menu. Unfortunately, user research shows that people don't use these verticals anywhere near as much as they use the Everything tab. And some of that is to do with the fact that search engines have got people used to the idea that there's one place to do search, which is a good thing. And the other reason is people always take the line of least resistance. They very rarely type more things than they need to. For that reason, out of the box, we actually provide a bunch of query rules that, for the out-of-box verticals, will actually federate in content. For example, if you type in a name like Brad Smith, if it's in Active Directory, we'll match it automatically and federate in results from PeopleSearch. That's really useful, but the problem is you have to kind of know what the user is going to type, and how can you know that? And this brings us back to the historical rules. What they'll let you do is say, if people have been typing this query quite a lot into a different vertical, then, and what you'll typically do is bring the remaining results in from that vertical. The way you do that is you configure a new query rule, and you use the query more common in source condition. Yoninger, can you demonstrate that?
I will. So in my example, I have hidden my video vertical here, so people will rarely search in that, of course. Then these historical query rules are more or less by magic, so it's kind of hard to test when you create it. But you can, though, go into SSA and view the top query of the month, so view the reports. And from the report, I can see that I, by accident, have a query with my name in the video vertical and in the SharePoint vertical. The requirements to get it, the rule to trigger is that the query word has to be more commonly used in this other vertical. So as I can see in this case, this query is more commonly used in the video vertical than in the SharePoint vertical. So that should be a good test case. So back in site setting, then creating a query rule, and then selecting local SharePoint result. Call it common, and then select this condition, query commonly used in source, then select the local video result, and then create my result block. common view result. I'm not doing anything with the actual query, only selecting the local video result again. Click OK. And save. So this is just a small example, and by accident, there's already a rule like this delivered by the tool. So, but anyway, though, just to illustrate the example. And then if I do the search, I can see that I get this common video results for my query. So the federation is working, just as you told Victor.
Thank God. And that's what you see internet search engines doing all the time, and now that's something that you can do for yourselves. Okay, we've spoken a lot about how to get the right results in for a query. Now let's talk about how to get them in the right order. In this release, we've introduced another type of rule system as part of the query rules, which are called dynamic reordering rules. And the idea is that when results come back, you can reorder them a little bit. Typically, you're going to use them as part of the query rules so that it only works for some queries. For example, if somebody's looking for reports, you'll boost stuff from the reports site. However, you can actually associate this with a source and actually change the relevance of that source for all queries. For those of you who have used FastSearch in the past, it actually compiles out into a special query syntax called XRank. This is a kind of version of XRank on steroids, though. It's a much more powerful version of the system. So the way you can access it is through the query builder, because it's going to translate into a more advanced query. Let's have a look. Jon-Inge has already shown you that you can use the query builder inside the query rules, and it's actually you can use it within a result source as well. When you launch the query builder, you'll see three tabs. There's basics, where you can configure the query, and then there's sorting and test. And sorting is the place where we can configure dynamic rules. So, one of the things you can do is just change the general sort so it's not by rank but by something like date. So if you wanted to sort by freshness, you can, but that's a strict sort on freshness, not by relevance. In those cases, you can't use the dynamic ordering rules you can see at the bottom. Instead, let's sort by rank, and we'll choose the default ranking model, and then we'll add a dynamic ordering rule. And what this screenshot has shown is both menus down, just so you can see what a rule looks like. You can have several of these rules that are basically a condition on the result followed by what to do. So you can say things like, if the result contains a particular phrase, or the title contains or matches a particular phrase, or a URL starts with a prefix or exactly matches a string, etc., then do something to that result. And the choices you have are promote the result to the top, demote it to the bottom, or promote or demote by a number between 1 and 10. Let me explain what that means. So, a promotion to the top takes any result and pushes it right to the top of the results. If you promote several results, it will maintain their relative order. And actually, this is a good way of managing what used to be managed through best bets, because you can still refine, it will be security trimmed, and if that document disappears from your collection, it will also disappear from the results. So it's a lot easier to manage. I think now when you use promoted results, it will much more often be for documents you haven't indexed at all. A promotion of 10 takes a mediocre relevant result and pushes it to the top of the results. And a demotion to the bottom takes a result and basically pushes it right out. So if you have a million results, it will go right to the bottom of those million results. Finally, a demotion of 10 takes a mediocre relevant result and pushes it underneath the most relevant results, not right to the bottom. Now, it's still pretty hard to know which number to select. It's pretty easy to know when to push something right to the top or bottom. But how do you select a number? Basically by trial and error and intuition. That's why we have a test tab, because you can actually type a query into the test tab and see what happens when you try a particular promotion or demotion. Let's have a look at an example.
Thank you, Victor. So there's at least three ways of using the XRank in the system. So you can use it either in a result source to then restrict and then specifically rank that source, or you can do it directly on the web page in the web part, or you can just create a query rule without any condition. And the query rule without any condition is not recommended, but I'll do that anyway in this demo.
Yes, don't do this at home.
So so as I said, I have indexed both TechNet and some local content. And starting out with my query fast, I can see that I'm only returning content from this local site. So I'll now try to mix that with my TechNet by creating a generic rule. So back in site setting, query rule, again, my local SharePoint result, new query rule, open. Then click on remove the condition, so it will trigger independent of the query. So whatever you're typing, this query rule will always fire. Then I'll click on change ranked result. Select sorting, and as Victor said, rank, and then the default rank model, and then click on add dynamic ordering rule. Now, whenever the title contains the keyword SharePoint 2013, I can do some promotion of that. So let's do a promote by 10, make sure it gets up there. Click, or actually we can use this query builder to do some testing. So let's add my word here, see if this one is actually working.
So your Ninga is putting a query into the search terms variable.
So as you can see, it did work. So I can now now I have the O154, which is my local site, and then I have some TechNet content. So it looks like this generic rule is working. Click OK and save. And then let's try the fast search again. This should be the same result as you get in the query builder, and it looks okay. So I have TechNet content together with my site content here. Okay.
Great. Janinger, just while we're at it, can you show people what that query translated into in that box in the test? So you can see why we provide it as a rule.
I can. Then why didn't you ask that earlier?
I just saw we had more time.
So let's see, back to the test one, show more. And now
so,
I can
so
see.
So that's actually what the query is.
So this is what you're looking for, isn't it?
Yeah. And as you provide more rules, that gets into a big nested XRank expression. So this is a much easier way to do it.
But it's really, actually really cool if you're creating a search-driven application and you're playing around with the REST API, you can use this tool to actually then build the queries and just cut and paste the queries into your application. So it's a cool tool for debugging and testing too. Okay, then back to you.
Thank you. Okay. There are times when you do want to actually play with the way the system ranks. Before you start to do this, you should have tried out and ruled out simpler options. For example, authorities, query rules, dynamic rules. You should also have a pretty good idea of what's lacking in search. Because when you change a ranking model or provide a ranking model, it's going to be applied to every single query. A good example would be, for example, you would like a user rating to be incorporated into your search. Currently, we, even though that is actually a SharePoint feature, we don't use it inside our ranking model. in order to incorporate something into a ranking model, it has to be both it has to be a managed property, and you have to kind of mark it for use in search. Now, to find out more about managed properties, I'll point you to a talk on the crawl if you haven't already seen it. Having got a managed property, to make it available for ranking, if it's an integer, you have to mark it as sortable or refinable. And if it's a text feature, you have to mark it as searchable in the schema. And that's all through UI as well. And then if you add a new managed property or you change one of those aspects of a managed property, you'll have to recrawl. Remember right at the beginning that I mentioned that actually the search engine sees the document just in terms of those ranking features which we make available for search. They're just managed properties. I'd like to go into a bit more detail now about how that actually works. It's a little bit simplified, but if we've got time at the end and people are interested, I can tell you more. I've just shown five features for a document. One is title, and the other, title and author. They're both string features. And string features are kind of interesting because they're used both to retrieve the document because they're going to match the query, and also we're going to associate a number with them, which is how relevant that document was to the query, using a formula that we call BM25. And the way that works is we actually compute a number proportional to the number of times we see matches from the query in those fields. The rest of the features are typically integer features, and they have nothing to do with the query. We call them query-independent features, and they're there to tell us something about how important that document is in general. So an example would be how many clicks have you seen outside of search? If people are clicking on that document a lot, chances are it's a pretty important document. I've given a couple of other examples. There's the type of the document, which is actually an enumerated type, so it's also an integer, and our new feature rating. So what happens when we search? What we do is we match the query against the text features of all documents, and we'll fetch back any documents that match. Then we'll derive the special numbers for those text fields using BM25. And the rest of the fields already have a number that doesn't vary with the query. We're going to normalize them. So we're going to convert them into the range 0 to 1. And then we're going to add them up to derive a single number for that document. But when we add them up, because some fields are more important than others, we're going to multiply them by their importance. It's a weighted average. So we get a single number for the document based on the managed properties that we're using for ranking. And we just sort by that rank score, and that's how relevance works. Or at least that's how ranking works. So when I add a new feature in, all I have to do is normalize it and give it the right weight, and I'm done. And I can do that inside a schema. Sounds very simple. The problem is choosing the right normalization function and the right constants is actually quite tricky. You have to understand the schema, and you have to go through a cycle of uploading it and see what happens. Not only that, the preferred way of doing that, if you want to really do this so that your users are truly happy, you should take a bunch of queries that you care about, look at which documents are relevant or not relevant, and then see how, when you change the ranking model, whether more relevant documents are at the top after you've improved it or not. And that's actually quite a lot of things to do. And for that reason, we're going to provide an app in the App Store which will let you do this without ever looking at the ranking schema. You can give it a bunch of queries. You can say which results you think are good and bad for those queries. And then it will give you a figure of merit called relative DCG to tell you how good the results are. And as you manually fiddle with the weights, it will actually tell you whether relevance is getting better or worse. Now, that's not all. If you provide around 10 queries with 10 judged results per query, we will actually provide a button which you can press, which will automatically tune the ranking model for you using some machine learning technology. let's have Janninger demonstrate.
Okay, thank you, Victor. So in this demo, we'll actually use this cool tool. First, starting out just flashing the rank model to illustrate and justify the 400 level, and then see why we don't want to go down to the Einstein level that Victor talked about earlier in the demo, in the presentation. I mean, so these numbers is really not something that you want to start changing. So that's why we need this tool. I in my document set, I have a few documents there, and I added this rating feature again. So I judged my result, or I rated my results, star rating 1 to 5, and only rated a few of my documents. So my TechReady collection is not rated, illustrating that the importance of ranking compared to just pure sorting, because if you're doing pure sorting on these rating numbers, then you won't get the effect of ranking, also including the good documents that doesn't have this rating. So let's start using the tool, or actually before you use the tool, you need to create this manage property that you want to integrate, as Victor illustrated. So I have created my managed property called the my rating, mapped it to OVS average rating. The number is the type is a double precision float, and I just as a regular user clicked on all the features. So query, search, retrieve, refiner, sort. Maybe you can tell us what feature I actually need for using this managed property within the tool.
I think you've done a great job of selecting.
Okay,
that
so
feature.
Yes, everything is a good choice. Then after creating the managed property, you of course need to recrawl to get the value into the index, and then you're ready to start using the tool. The tool is a collection of different pages, and running the model selection page. In this page, you get a view of all the included rank models. So when creating a new one, you always start with some starting points. So starting with the default model. Then SPC rank, that's my name. What happened? I'll do it again. Clicked one. Many times, though, I think.
You can see out of the box we provide a lot of ranking.
Yeah. Okay, then I also select what source I will test against, and then I'm ready to start to add the queries. So, as Victor said, we need at least 10 queries, and each query needs at least 10 judgments. So, you can either just import these queries, or you can do as I will do now, just add a few queries manually. So add queries. Oops. Big data. So I need at least 10, but now in the demo, I'll just add a couple of them. So you can see that I have tested this a little bit. My SharePoint query has a pretty good coverage, so I'll add some judgments related to my big data query.
So coverage means how many of the...
How many of the total results that I have judged. Yeah. So within the tool, I have the possibility to judge based on the different models. So these are the current model, and I also have a saved model and base model. Base model is the default model in this case, and saved model would be whatever I have done earlier related to my model. And as you can see, you get different search results within here. The judging is only then done by looking at the results. I can use the preview and then just clicking. So related to big data, this is probably an excellent result, so I'll judge it as excellent. This one, probably not that good related to big data, so then I'll just continue and do that for at least 10 documents. Then I hit next query or done when I'm done. So let's save that one. So this is just a small demo, so I won't add all the query words in here. So now I'm ready to add the feature I want to include, and the feature I want to include, that's my managed property. So I click on add feature to customize. Then I have this drop-down. I can select, in this case, it's a numeric managed property, and I can find my managed property within my list. I can also select a different feature from the base model. So I can go in and select title if I want to change the existing model, so change the current weight of whatever Victor provided in the default model. But let's do the sortable numeric, my rank, add feature. So now it's bringing it back. If I now had 10 queries and then 10 judgments, this auto-tune button down here, which is now gray, would be enabled. So, and you can see the current weight is zero. I can do a manual tuning without having my 10 by 10, and then just testing out and then see if that's good enough or bad enough and then go back and forth. But of course the auto-tuning is the best way of doing it, because then you actually base that number on whatever the judgments are, and then also related to the rating, the value from 1 to 5 on this document. But as a good chef, I cheated. So I already have an example here with 11 queries and enough judgments. And as you can see, my auto-tuning provided a number 0.33, which I got by running this auto-tuning. The auto-tuning takes a little while since it's doing all the queries and then doing the calculations to provide you this number. So, but then when that's done, we're ready to publish the model. So, and that's something you then do by just clicking on publish, publishing it to all sites if you want to use it in all sites. And now the model is ready to be used. So I'll again use this query rule without any conditions to test my rank model. So I already created a few search verticals here. One called my rank,
and the source has that ranking model.
Yeah, exactly. So now I haven't included or created my query rules, so I can see that this is by the default model. I just did a small modification of the templates, including the stars, so to illustrate which documents are rated and not. So let's go to site setting. Query rules, result source is again local SharePoint. My rank, remove the condition.
The preferred way of doing this would be to build your own result source rather than having a query rule.
My excuse fired. That this is a demo, so. and then hit the sorting tab, select rank, and then the rank model. Click OK and save that. And we're ready to do the testing. So now we should have a different view than we had before. As you can see, that ranking now has changed. What is really...
There's a lot more higher-starred things up there.
Yeah. Exactly. So the higher-starred things are up there. But we can also see that this deck, which is from a different collection, from the Tech Credit collection, SharePoint 20-something, Social Overview. It's probably a really good document for this this query social, so it's high on the list, even if it's not rated. So that kind of illustrates the power of using a rank model compared to pure sorting. Because if you do pure sorting, like I've done in this vertical, I lose everything from the tech credit collection, and I just get the sorting by this rating feature. So really encourage you to use this tool. It's really cool. Okay, back to you, Richard.
I hope we've convinced you that search quality is better than it's ever been in this release. First of all, we've improved ranking. We've combined the best features of Search Server and Fast Search and added a host of new features. We've actually improved the linguistics processing quite a bit. I didn't have time to go into this, but for example, stemming is much better. We've worked out a way of prioritizing stems to give you excellent results. We've also provided a thesaurus that's much easier to deploy. And finally, we've maintained this authorities feature, and which will be new for Fast Search users, which really makes configuring relevance relatively straightforward. But the biggest net new set of features we've added are around the query rules, which let you really manage users' intents for the first time. The thing that I'm personally the most proud of is the fact that every single one of the things that you've seen today has been done through UI. You know, in previous releases, when we've spoken about this kind of thing, it's all been PowerShell and editing web parts and stuff. Now everything is UI. And that means that you can actually realistically manage relevance through the life cycle. And for many people, you can do it as a site admin. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
That is actually through PowerShell. But, the thesaurus is deployed through PowerShell, but beforehand you used to have to copy all of the files to each one of the servers, and now it's deployed with one command.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep, go ahead.
Oh. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
If we upgrade search to a 2013 farm, we still have 2010 farms that we're consuming from?
Yes.
Any of this applicable or possible?
So the question is, if you have upgraded search but you keep 2010 farms, is any of this possible? It's very, very limited. So you can actually use 2013 search, but in backwards compatibility mode, you can't really use the query rules, etc.
That's
you did it for the newer one that you did there, but I assume there's other options. If I had a choice column, I could say, hey, if it equals this, boost it by this much. Is that still Apple through the UI there?
That's correct. So that was the open query rule. That's replacing the managed property boosting that you had in Fast Search before.
Okay. Mm. And so piggybacking his question, if I have that set up in 2013, can I then have my 2010 farm using that same rank model query boosting, would that still apply to my 2010 result sets?
The answer is no.
Okay.
You can actually build your own model that you can provide that you can use,
okay.
But you can't. If you're using Fast, the whole way that ranking works has changed.
Right.
And actually boosting without looking at what the new results look like would be a dangerous thing anyway. When do we get the tuning tool, is the question. We're hoping to put it up within the next few weeks.
Question on the ranking model over here.
Yeah.
In 2013, relative to Fast ESP, question there. Do you still have the same power that you had before in terms of weighting context versus proximity versus freshness versus the other components?
It's different. I think you do have most of that power. There are some differences. You'd have to, maybe afterwards we can talk about your particular case.
Okay.
Are the query rules part of the import-export process and move it from QA to production?
Yes, is the answer. There's actually, so the question was, can you import-export query rules? And yes, a very common thing, common way of using query rules is you'll build a site to test it out, and then export the query rules and import them into the main site that you want to try it out on. That's actually, we worked with MSIT, which is the internal deployment of search that we have, and did it exactly that way. It's very powerful.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.